You pulled out some Lovin' Spoonful records too.
Yeah, I don't know if people know, but our, you know, when I started off, and Kenny and I were, we both went to the same elementary school, and we were, I think you were 13, I was 12, and we got together in band class. Mrs. Walters band class.
Oh, you could remember? Forget.
That's right, Mrs. Walters.
20 years ago.
That's right, it was about 20 years ago. And we got together with San Francisco, had a producer who's actually looking for people who to make records with. Like, that's so odd.
So arcane, isn't it?
Yeah, the idea that a producer was actually looking around for somebody with talent as opposed to, like, sitting in a meeting with a bunch of guys and, you know, rejecting tapes. Eric would actually go out to gigs, and Eric Jacobson, who produced the Lovin' Spoonful, saw us playing at the, I think it was the Art College in San Francisco.
What Spoonful stuff do you like?
What don't I like? Let me see. What can we pull off of here? Did you ever have to make up your mind? Did you ever have to make up your mind? It's a, I guess the basic idea of the song is you, guy goes to the house and meets two sisters and...
Did you ever have to make up your mind and pick up on one and leave the other behind? It's not often easy and not often kind. Did you ever have to make up your mind? Did you ever have to finally decide and say yes to one and let the other one ride? There's so many changes and tears you must hide. Did you ever have to finally decide? Sometimes there's one with big blue eyes, cute as a bunny,
with hair down to here and plenty of money.
And just when you think she's that one in the world, your heart gets stolen by some mousy little girl. And then you know you better make up your mind and pick up on one and leave the other behind. Not often easy and not often kind. Did you ever have to make up your mind?
By her older sister.
When in walks her father
and takes you in line and says,
better go home, son, and make up your mind.
Then you bet you better finally decide and say yes to one and let the other one cry. There's so many changes and tears you must hide. Did you ever have to finally decide?
And I remember this guy came over wearing a Hawaiian shirt and talked to me, and he says, you know, I'm a producer and like your singing and your band. And actually, he talked to Kenny first, and he said, are you really tied to this singer? And
Kenny, just out of loyalty.
Yeah. Just out of loyalty. Kenny goes, well, not so much. I mean, you know.
What are we talking?
It's a one-off 30, gig.
40 bucks?
But we hooked up with Eric Jacobson from Lovin' Spoonful, and I remember being impressed. This shows you the circles that I was moving in at the time. I was impressed because he had a car. You know, it's funny now, but like, I'm not kidding. At the time, it was like, he's got a car.
Nice car?
Yeah. Well, no, it was a car, you know.
Had most of the paint.
Eric never had anything flashy. He was never a flashy guy.
Now, this is a great album.
Can you tell a little bit about that record?
Well, it's Johnny Burnett and the Rock and Roll Trio. Chris and I both talked about how influential this was on us. One of the stories I like is when they signed Johnny Burnett to do this record, and they flew all these guys from Tennessee or wherever they were from up to New York, you give them an orchestra. That's what you did when you had when you wanted to make a record. And these hillbillies walk in and go, well, everybody can go home but the drummer. And can you imagine this, some session drummer trying to keep up with these crazy guys? Because there's some great songs on here.
So it is that session drummer?
Mm-hmm. I don't know who his name is.
He's good.
Is it on here?
He's real good.
Yeah, he kept up.
Yeah, he did a good job. I'm amazed he didn't blow the record, you know?
Yeah.
I believe that was the first band Elvis sat in with.
Really?
I believe so. I believe they had a gig when Elvis was still at the Electric Company.
Well, here's a song you do all the time. We do all the time live. Blue, Stay Away From Me.
Oh, I said blue, stay away from me. Blues, why don't you set me free? I don't know why you keep haunting me. I'm just watching people pull their car over right now and reach over, try to change the dial with one hand. Trying to change it with a foot, huh? Why are you kicking the dash, honey?
Come on, little baby, let's tear that dance floor up. Come on, little baby, let's tear that dance floor up. Come on, little mama, let me see you strut your stuff. I'ma leave a little baby, gonna be gone a long, long time. I'ma leave a little baby, gonna be gone a long, long time. So come on, little baby, and show me your real cool time. Tear it up, tear it up, tear it up, ow! Tear it up. So come on, little mama, let's tear that dance floor up. You step back, baby, move my way. Step around again and let me hear you say, tear it up, tear it up. Come on, little baby, let's tear that dance floor up. Tear it up, tear it up, tear it up, tear it up. Come on, little mama, let's tear that dance floor up.
Selvin on the City.
Lonesome Train and Tear It Up.
I love rockabilly. I like country, I like rockabilly, and I like pop. But I like a lot of strange music. I mean, like, what did I bring with me? I brought some Italian music today with me. I mean, that's what I've been listening to, like, today. Anything that's got nice energy, anything that's got a pretty melody, something like that. There really is a lot of music that I like. Usually, I'm distrustful when I ask people what kind of music, and they go, I like everything. Because usually it means they don't like, really don't like anything. But once in a while, you meet, you know, a record freak like you, Joel, or Kenny, or myself. And their collection is, you know, once you got all the rock and roll records, you got to start going into, you know, wait a minute, who plays congas? You know, like, you start spreading out and finding other cool stuff, you know. I'm always amazed, too. Like, I mean, we're sitting here, and people can't see it, but we're sitting in a room that, like, I just dare somebody to have a drive-by shooting and try to get to us here, because they could shoot forever and they'd never get through all these records.
How many pieces are there, Joel?
There's a lot of pieces.
Okay.
I think there's about 25,000 albums, and I think there's about 15,000 45s. You believe that wall is just 15,000 45s?
That's a lot of records in this place.
I've overdone it. There's no question about that.
But, you know, it doesn't. This seems natural to me, because I always got a ton of records at my house, and it blows my mind is when I go to somebody's house and I go, "Where are your records?" And they go, "Right here." And there's a little stack of like 30, maybe 30 records, and I go, "Where's the rest of them?" And that's it. That's all the records they ever got.
Well, they don't have to worry about what to put on. You know,
but
they don't have
the
to
right 30.
Yeah, if it was the right 30, you'd be okay.
Yeah.
It never is, though. No, when you got 30, when you got 30, that's always like,
there's always a screedy polity in there. I mean,
yeah. Wait a minute, what are you saying? don't be hasty.
Screedy polity off of that.
Oh, there was a screedy polity reference in there. Come on, play one. 20 seconds, then I want to hear the sound of it going off.
This is Joel Selvin here with Chris and Kenny, and we'll be right back with some rare Chris Isaak records.